Welcome to We Geek Podcast. Today is actually Friday, the 28th of August, and we're just doing one of our special We Geek Podcast. Again, my name's Adam. Here with my good friend Logan.
Hello.
What up? And yeah, we just wanted to talk about wrestling and SummerSlam, and you know, kind of wanted to start talking about it. Maybe make it a little bit of part of our show. You know, every week, or we can kind of just do little specials like this. You know, let us know. But yeah, man, just wanted to talk about, you know, an hour or so. Just wanted to go over SummerSlam, Raw, everything that happened. Maybe talk a little bit about how we got into wrestling and just wrestling in general. Just kind of wanted to take a spotlight to it because we've kind of tiptoed around it in the show a little bit. You know, you've been into it probably a lot longer than I have. I've kind of, you know, I was in it for a little bit, got out, back in, you know. Kind of like that saying, when they pull me out, they got me right back in. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, man, let's talk about it. So what'd you think of NXT? Well, I should say up front, I didn't actually see the NXT. I want to see it. You've been telling me how great it is. I saw the SummerSlam and Raw, but tell me which one was your favorite out of them?
You know, SummerSlam had some good stuff, but man, the standout match from all three events, has to be the women's championship match on NXT TakeOver.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. NXT is like, people swear by it. You know, it's like to them, from what I hear, it reminds them of like an older school style wrestling.
Well, it's better. Like, there's, you know, it's kind of a running gag. Like, you get so good at NXT that then, you know, they bring you up to the main roster and more often than not, they bury you. You know, right. look at poor Bo Dallas. Bo Dallas was NXT champ. And,
oh, wow.
You know, Monday night on Raw, he had the very, very unfortunate position of being the one to come out when Brock was in the ring.
Right.
And that was ugly.
But, you know, he did that before with Sting. You know, a big moment, I guess, after Sting's first match. And it was just, it's cringeworthy.
Yeah, I feel so bad for Bo. Because he was, like, when I was at Full Sail, and they were really getting NXT going. Like, my last year there was the year that they started, like, they had their just NXT TakeOver. And it was, no, it had a subtitle. Arrival, that was it. It was NXT TakeOver, Arrival. Mm-hmm. And it was their first, like, they had just launched the network as well. So, like, that was their first big on the network exclusive event.
Right.
Was this, you know, like, a couple thousand seat, you know, auditorium more or less at Full Sail. I mean, it's got some pretty high quality, if not state of the art, like, production equipment, but it's not an arena.
Right.
It's fairly small, but man, did they pack people in there. I mean, you had bodies on top of bodies because everybody wanted to be there. Like, this NXT was such a part of being at Full Sail, and I went to. I was lucky. I got to go to a handful of different tapings, and the way they did it there, like, because it's not live, they do like the month's worth of tapings in one shot. So you're there like 4 hours. But it's like you see him do the whole month, and it's just awesome, and you get to see so much talent. You would have you know, like, a main roster guy pop in. We had Big Show, we had Kane, we had Cena, and God, I know there's been others that are just escaping me, but I mean, you know, you get to see like the Shield before they go big. You get to see the Ascension before they get called up and just destroyed. You get to watch Bo Dallas do some ridiculously amazing stuff, have great matches, and then just, you know, you see what happens to him. But the flip side of the coin is somebody like Seth Rollins, who, you know, he and Dean and Roman, you know, doing their Shield thing, it was fun to watch that sort of build. And then to see once it got called up, like, when it got the pop that it did, like, that was really cool.
Yeah.
To watch, man. Yeah.
it's one of those things that I always wanted to kind of go and see. I just never got around to it.
Yeah.
And when you were going to Full Sail, that's when I just kind of wasn't watching wrestling. I only got back into it the last, you know, year or so. And that's one of the things I want to go do. It gets, you know, now start talking to a lot of my friends who have been into wrestling and kind of stuck with it. They're like, yes, finally, come see it. Come see the show.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and from what I understand, like, they do a few tapings at once, right?
Yeah, they do. They do tapings for four shows at once.
Right. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Do they sell? Like, can you drink there?
I don't think so because it's technically on campus. Technically.
Gotcha.
So no.
Okay. Yeah. No, that was just curious.
No. Yeah, hey, that'd
be fun.
But yeah, they've started doing tapings and the events, like, they've taken it on the road.
Oh, okay.
Too. It's not just there anymore because it got huge. Like, once they did that first event, you know, that first big arrival event on the network, and people really got to see what these men and women can do. Like, it's insane.
Yeah, you know, and it's all on the app. So
yeah, it's all on the net. Yeah, NXT's all on the network.
So no, help me out here, man. This NXT Takeover Brooklyn. It's not a pay per view, but it's one of their main events, right?
I think it's like every 3 months they do the NXT version of a pay per view. Essentially.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, and I mean, we say pay per view, but of course it's all on their app. So like, if you have, you know, the WWE Network, you get all this. So that's really cool. Yeah, and that's just one thing that, you know, we have so much. We got games, movies, comics. Like, some things get left to the wayside.
Yeah, it just has to. But that's the great thing about the platform that we have. We could just jump on and do this.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, when we get done talking tonight, I could go watch that.
There you go.
So yeah, I think I'm going to do that. So how was NXT Takeover Brooklyn? You said it was your favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. It was awesome. Seeing just from the very opening match to see Jushin Thunder Liger in a WWE ring, like, that's going way back. I mean, he was a legend when I started watching.
Yeah.
And he's been around. He's not in as great a shape as he used to be, but I mean, that's just a product. I mean, you know, look at guys like Sting and The Undertaker. You know, it just what they can do is still amazing.
All things
totally considered, but you know, it's not their heyday
anymore. Yeah,
but it still brings something when they decide they worked out a deal with New Japan to bring him over for a one time thing, and just to see the massive amount of respect. And that's another thing you get with NXT. NXT fans are reminiscent of old ECW fans.
Oh yeah.
They are hardcore loyal. And,
oh yeah. That's the thing I find is that my friends who are really into wrestling, that is their thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the indie version of, you know, before it gets, you know, plastered with, you know, marketing and everything else. They kind of can play by a different set of rules.
A little bit, yeah. There's not, you know, this isn't the production of Raw or even SmackDown. You know,
sometimes that gets in its own way. It's like, okay, hours of talking, and it's like, we saw no wrestling, no backstage fights, nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of cool. Who was the main event?
For TakeOver, you had a co-main event.
Okay.
And because they and it was awesome. The first main event was for the NXT women's title.
Okay.
And it was Bayley and Sasha Banks, who was the reigning champ. And watching you watch, that's what has been, if I had to point at NXT and say, here's the impact it had, it's with women's wrestling.
Right.
The crew that they have brought up now for the Divas Revolution on Raw. Mm-hmm.
That's what I was going to say, that pop. They got a big pop, you know, a few weeks back. That was, you know, it got me excited because for a while it was like, okay, it's the same girls doing the same things. The roster wasn't that big. And then now they just injected it with, like, I think six new girls, right, from NXT?
What do we got? One, two,
four or three. Six. There was a lot.
There's Oh man, I totally hang on, because you had Becky Lynch, Charlotte, who else is new from NXT? Sasha Banks, and is that a missing one? I know I'm missing one.
It's okay. I didn't mean to put you on the spot there.
No, I think that's it.
Okay, so I knew it was a couple. I knew, you know, like I said, I kind of just got back into it, so you know, I liked AJ Lee, and so.
Well, because AJ, here's the thing about like the Divas division for the last couple of years has not been a talent pool.
Right.
Like you watch the Bellas wrestle now as opposed to even a year ago, it's a huge difference.
Right.
Like they're when they were like these are who we're gonna spotlight. You know, it was awful. They were terrible. They were, and thankfully they've gotten better. But you watch NXT and you see, you know, you would see Sasha Banks and you would watch. That was what was so cool about being at NXT, about being at Full Sail when I was, because I got to see this crop in particular.
That's come cool. up,
and you got to see them, and you got to see Bayley, and you got to see Emma. Who was criminally underused, because she has a tremendous amount of talent. But
and I guess at that point you probably feel a little bit more intimate with it. You feel a little bit more like involved in their, you know, these people.
Oh yeah. Oh absolutely.
Right. Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah. I need to start watching NXT.
Yeah.
So I want to be the guy, be like, oh yeah, I knew these people, you know, like a year ago. Yeah. Not to be the, you know, what's the phrase? Not to be oh god, my mind just went blank. Sorry, it's been a long day. No, but I don't want to be like, oh yeah, I know them, but I want to be like, yes, like, okay, this is who this is, this is who that is. Kind of like when we talk about comic book movies to people who don't, you know, read comics or anything like that. You're like, oh yeah, well, this is who this is, this is who that is. Like that. That's what I'm hearing from you right now.
Yeah.
When you're talking about NXT, but that's really cool, man.
Yeah, and that was and it was seeing, especially watching Bayley, because Bayley had such a fascinating arc, being more of like the happy kind of character instead of, you know, oh, I'm focused, I'm driven, I'm evil. No, it was fun, it was party, but then when it, you know, she still brought it. Like it wasn't just all fluff. She had a tremendous amount of talent, and to. Especially over the last couple months, to watch that arc develop, like it's awesome. Like the stuff they do in NXT, just from a storytelling standpoint, especially in the ring. Like the mic work is kind of a coin toss. Could be good, could be bad, but they get to work on it.
Right. Yeah. That's their chance to work on it.
Yeah.
And, the word I was looking for, hipster. Hipster. Totally slipped my mind. It's been a long day.
That's all right.
That's really cool. I want to get into it now that I know it's a part of the app. So
yeah,
you know, it's one of those things I can go back and watch the last few episodes and get, I think, caught up. And
totally.
So like, yeah, help me out with this, because they've been in Brooklyn. Like, this is three events in one.
They did them all right there. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because I know they do a house show there too.
I'm not sure.
Okay. I know they got a house show actually in Orlando this weekend, tomorrow.
Really?
So, nice. Man, my buddy's going, but, you know, I guess he's his friend's taking him because he's got an extra ticket. So I was like, oh, man, if you had a ticket, I don't know how that works. I don't know. Like, I'm sure there's tickets next to each other. I was like, I'd go if I could get one next to you guys.
But, yeah.
But yeah, man. That's one thing I want to get into. Why don't you just tell us like how you got into wrestling to begin with? Like what was your first memory of wrestling?
My first exposure to it at all. Mm-hmm. And this goes back to why I wanted to see Insert Coin get funded.
Oh, okay.
Because they talked a lot about behind the scenes at Midway when they did WrestleMania the video game.
Okay.
And this was, God, 20, what's it been? 20 4 years, I think.
Yeah.
And like that was kind of my first exposure to it. Was like, oh yeah, like I, you know, of course, you know, you grow up in the late 80s, early 90s, you know the name Hulk Hogan. Like it's just there. You can't not know it. But but like as far as anybody else, The Undertaker, Bret Hart, Lex Luger, even Triple H back when he was still, you know, when it was the whole Hunter Hearst Helmsley character, right. very, you know, the high class and so on. And God, what an awful gimmick that was.
Oh, yeah.
But just, like, a passing knowledge of it. And then I would...
Oh, yeah.
I kind of danced around it a little for the next few years. Mm-hmm. Especially anytime my brother would be coming by from wherever, whatever he was going to or from. If it was a wrestling night, man, it was on. Like, he just, mm-hmm. that was his thing. He had to watch it. And so, like, you couldn't get away from, like, The Rock and Stone Cold once they got big. They became part of our culture.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But, they were household names. It was a different, to me, I had three phases of wrestling. Okay. And I'm in the third one right now. So the first one was when I was a little kid, and it was the Hulk Hogan, it was Jake the Snake. It was that Macho Man Randy Savage, where I didn't really know what was going on. I just thought, oh, this is really cool. These are like superheroes, pretty much.
Yeah, kind
of. In a ring. And of course, they weren't superheroes, but they were just these massive dudes just punching each other. And in your head, you're like, they're really fighting, you know? And that was like a kid where I had the little action figures and stuff like that. The middle phase, I guess, that was the golden. Then the silver age, which really to me was my favorite, which was when I was in, I must have been in middle school, and it was the whole WCW, NWO, and Raw, where it was just the Attitude Era.
The
Monday Night Wars. But, you know, I was probably more, let me ask you, were you a WCW or WWF kid?
I see, that whole thing occurred, like, that mostly, like, wrestling was kind of a no in my house.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
You couldn't watch it?
Just because I wasn't, and you know, it was a judgment call on my family's part. And it was a good call, because I was younger. And they said, no, not now.
Yeah.
So, okay, cool. It wasn't until, like, a year after all of this happened that I got back into it.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, yeah, man. See, my parents were divorced and at this point. So, you know, I'd go back between my mom's and my dad's. And it was in, you know, at my dad's house, I would be watching Monday night stuff. And then on the weekends, I usually be at my mom's. And that's when we get the pay-per-view. So I was more of a WCW kid. And the reason why is because I loved Sting.
Yeah.
Everything about Sting, I wanted to see. The NWO, like some of those matches, if you go back and watch, you do not see crowds pop like that anymore, where they just went nuts when he's just sitting in the rafters, doesn't say a word, you know. And I know people give Goldberg a lot of stuff, but I really liked that. Like that whole NWO versus WCW, whose side are they on, blah, blah, blah. And I was the kid that would watch on one TV and then record it on a VHS on the other. And, you know, God bless my parents and my dad, my stepmom, stepdad, everybody, because they were like, just let them do it, you know. And so I would watch one, and then the next day I'd watch the other, or I, you know, because it was like on until like 11 o'clock. And so I wasn't that into WWF, but I knew about the conversations, you know what I mean? Like I could still talk about The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin, of course.
Right.
And stuff like that. But it wasn't really until like, me and my two brothers, my stepbrother, my stepdad, and my mom, we would get the pay-per-views. And it would be like, we'd always want the WCW ones, like what was it? It was like Halloween Havoc and stuff like that. Yeah, yeah, man. So it was just right around that time where and they embraced it. My stepdad liked wrestling, you know, and so he you know, we got into it. We'd beg and plead, because it was expensive. It was like $60. We'd be like, this will be our birthday present and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, so we'd talk him into it. And it was a good time. And sometimes we'd get the WWF ones, the WrestleManias or whatnot. But that's, you know, that was like middle school. And then when I got into high school, I was still into it a little bit because The Rock, Stone Cold, it was still a part of the conversation. And then slowly and surely I got out of it. I think like a lot of people did, when the WWF lost a lot of their characters, lost a lot of their, you know, quote unquote attitude. And it wasn't until recently where my friend was like, just have fun, just watch it. You know, you don't need to know anything. You know, you get wrestling, you understand what's going on. And you know, grab a hold of somebody that you like. And so that's kind of what happened. And then of course I heard Sting was back.
Yeah.
And that was the hook that got me. I was like, nope, I gotta start watching this again, because that was my guy, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, man. So it's So you got into it, right? Was it after WCW was bought by WWF?
Yeah, it was, I can tell you actually exactly when it was. Okay. I can't give you a date, but I can, it's easy to look up because, my brother had moved back, down to Florida. He was like right down the road from us. Right. And, he was telling me and, one of my buddies who lived here in Carolina was down visiting for the summer. And he was like, "Hey, you guys should come over. I got the WWE pay-per-view tonight." And I was like, "Yeah, sure. Why not?" Like I was always, you know, like I always did kind of like dance around it. It was like, "Yeah, uh-huh. Cool. I'll go over and watch this." It was Vengeance 2002, which would have put it in either June or July. And I think June, but I may be wrong. Because I remember that match. Like I don't remember much about the pay-per-view except the main event, and it was The Rock and Kurt Angle and The Undertaker for the Undisputed title. And it was, I remember watching this and I was like, I remember this. Like I love this. And that was kind of like my first real phase. I got into that. And then, of course, like the next, I forget if it was the, I think it was like the very next month was SummerSlam of 02, where The Rock lost his title to this brand new rookie that they had just brought in. He'd been there, what, like 6 months or something? Not even that. But it was this little kid, was like 20-some years old, named Brock Lesnar.
Right.
And that was, I remember watching this and I was like, this guy is ridiculous. I was like, I've got to watch this. Like, this is crazy. And, so I stuck with it for high school, pretty much. Like those 4 years, like when you had Rey Mysterio and
so I guess you got into it, right? When I stepped my foot out, kind of, I think.
It seems like, cause Stone Cold had left, Shawn Michaels was coming back. You had the Hardys had broken up because they were on different shows. And back then that was, you know, you had the brand extension. You had one set of the roster on Raw and one set on SmackDown.
Right.
And you had split pay-per-views, you know, like so they'd all come at Survivor Series, but then, you know, at Vengeance would be one and then at Armageddon would be another, like they were different brands and everything. And, because I'll never forget my first WrestleMania was WrestleMania 19, and it was Lesnar and Angle. And it was when Lesnar did that shooting star off the top and landed on his own head. Somebody that size has no business doing something like that.
Yeah.
But
Man, it's, you know, I'm trying to think of like memorable pay-per-views that I saw. Oh, I saw it live where Mick Foley went through the chain when he was facing the Undertaker.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. It would have been.
Yeah. It was Hell in a Cell, I think it was.
Yeah. It was 98.
Yeah.
I think I want to say.
All
right.
Yeah. It was right around that time where I was just it was right around middle school time. So that's when, oh man, I think when you were in the Undertaker, he was American Badass. Or
yeah.
Something.
That was when he did the biker gimmick and people give him a lot of crap for that. I actually liked it.
Like, yeah.
I was never sold on the whole actual dead man character.
Right, he's never dead.
Yeah, like I never was. Like
one of my favorite Raws was, and I can't tell you, you know, when it was or anything like that, but it was when it was Paul Bearer. He came out and must have been out there for 30 minutes talking about the Undertaker's childhood, and it was when they introduced Kane, and you know he's talking about his half brother that is still alive and blah 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 blah, and I just remember Kane coming out, and it was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. But that was when I was a kid. I was like, this is awesome. Like I just remember thinking, this is so freaking cool. But yeah. That was one of the WWF moments that I really, really enjoyed.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, that's kind of funny. That's kind of cool. We get different perspective because I had it a little bit earlier. You had it the years I wasn't watching it, and yeah, man, like it. Let's see here.
But yeah, and so like I, and then like after high school, like I kind of fell out of it, because you know we had, this was like WrestleMania 21 ish, 22. This was around the time that we lost Eddie Guerrero. That was kind of when like I just wasn't interested in anybody. Because you had, and you had like John Cena was starting to get really big, and I would tune in for Edge. I loved Edge. I was a big fan of theirs from as soon as I started.
See, when I remember him being a vampire, that was my first introduction to him.
God, yeah, the new brood. Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, that's why I really, I know a lot of people think it's so gimmicky, but I really like it when I see Mick Foley back or The Rock back, because it kind of, for a moment, like it brings back, and I see kind of in the crowd too, you really get a pop when these people come out. Like, for example, and to jump ahead for a second, I guess, when the Dudley Boys came out.
Oh man, God, are you
Yeah,
kidding?
it just so, and you know, and I guess, I don't know if this is like this everywhere, it's got to be a Florida thing. Maybe it's because we're in Florida, where we were in Florida, and I still am. It's everywhere, you know. Like the Dudley Boys, for example. You know, they have a gym here. I've seen them at not their gym, but a gym here, just a regular gym. You know, like that's how, like, just embedded wrestlers are in Florida.
Yeah.
You know, they live here, they retire here, they die here. That this is their home, you know. And so like it's, you know, it's just, it's crazy to think about. And when I heard they were there, I was like, I just heard this guy on the radio, you know, a few months back. So it was really cool. I had no idea they were going to show up or whatever. So that was another blast from the past where I'm like, yes, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was to see them on Raw just out of the blue. Like Bubba had come back at the Rumble this year for like a one-time thing. And then he went back to do some other work with TNA, and so WWE was like, "Ah, then you know what? Maybe we don't actually want to work with you." But God, to see them come back, and then for them to say we're back. Like I saw that and I was like, "Oh yeah, 'cause it's a Brooklyn thing." Like they're that's why they're back. Okay, great. But then to be like, "Oh no, they're back." I was like, "Oh man."
Oh yeah, I'm
Dude.
glad they were both back. And you
Yes.
know, didn't they have like a little brother or like a little guy that used to
Spike.
be with them?
Little Spike Dudley.
Spike, right? Whatever
Yeah.
happened to him?
He, I, you know what? I don't know. I
I
don't
imagine
have
he
a clue.
had a falling out with him or something. Yeah, but no, it's cool to see them both back. So you know what? Tell me about SummerSlam. What do you think about SummerSlam?
SummerSlam was good. I'm trying to think.
I thought it was much better than the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
thought it definitely had way more star appeal, way more, you know, just, I keep using the word pops because that's the only wrestling term I guess I know, and heel and babyface, but like it definitely had more pops. Like the audience was getting excited. I was getting excited, especially like, I don't want to go all the way to the last match, but there's a lot of moments in that one where I was like, yes, this is awesome.
Oh, big time. Oh, totally. They knew, for the most part, they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
I still don't understand the Sheamus and Randy Orton feud. Nobody's
Yeah.
invested in it. Nobody cares. It's not doing anything.
Orton should be involved with bigger players, in my opinion. Like he's been there for too long to.
Orton,
It's it, he's he's they keep put. I, it's like they don't know what to do with him.
and the same thing with Sheamus. Like he's
Yeah.
not. That's my thing. Like neither of the this serves nothing. There's no
Right.
point. There's just they stuck the two of them together and they go out and have their matches. Like
Yeah.
there's no point. You know, the at least the stuff with Dolph Ziggler and Rusev has a point. You know, and that's you know, whether it's a good point or not, at least there's a point. But and the I loved the New Day recapturing the tag titles. I thought that was great. I am a I was a huge Primetime Players fan back the first time they came out, and I was like,
Yes,
okay.
I don't know much about them.
I love them. They were a while back they debuted and they were good, but then the tag division has kind of been like the Divas division.
No, that's what I was just going to say. The Dudley Boys is the best thing that's happened in a while that I've seen.
But once they started bringing up, when they brought up the Usos at NXT were tearing the house down every night. And then they brought in the Lucha Dragons and they would tear the house down.
Well, they're fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Like those two groups are just tons of fun to watch.
Oh, absolutely. And then So now they've brought them up, and it's like, okay, we've got the Lucha Dragons and Usos and Los Matadores and the Ascension, which they destroyed in a heartbeat. And so then it began, and then I forget which one of the Usos got injured, so they couldn't, you know, that had to go away. So now what do? Well, we bring up the Lucha Dragons. Okay, great. What else? Yeah. Well, let's get the primetime players back together. And I was so all for that because I loved them before and they're awesome now. And I'll tell you what, when they first debuted the New Day, I thought, wow, this could just be so bad. Mm-hmm. Like, this just has potential catastrophe written all over it.
Right.
And and to watch, like, it's one thing. Like, if I was a kid, I would hate them because of Xavier Woods. But being a little older and having a different psychology towards it, I love what he's doing. Like, he has just committed to his character, and he is just full steam ahead. He brought out a trumpet to play, for God's sake. A trombone, for God's sakes, to play. That's, I'm telling you, like, there's a lot of talk about, you know, what do you do in the business? Well, you reach for the brass ring. Like, that's the ancient cliche. Mm-hmm. And so Xavier Woods decided to bring the brass section.
Now, one of them is a big nerd, right? Is it Kofi Kingston or?
I think
it's Kofi Kingston.
I think it's Kofi, and I also think Xavier is kind of a nerd.
Which is the one that came out in Zelda? Like, they had the Triforce on their boots. I know one of them is like a giant geek because I just saw them on, or I didn't see them. I heard them on another podcast, and they were just talking about like Metal Gear Solid and stuff like that.
It may be Kofi. I want to say it's Kofi.
Okay,
but I could.
That's what I think it is too. Because I don't know these wrestlers well enough to know, but I know one of them was a giant geek, and wasn't that one of their gimmicks for a little bit or something? I don't know.
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you. I know.
Oh, it's got to be Kofi Kingston. I Googled his name, and he's got a picture of him as Dr. Doom. So.
Oh, well, then there you go. But, you know, just to watch them, like, embrace, there's nothing funnier than that celebration from SummerSlam. Seeing Kofi bouncing on the ring and Big E's just doing laps around inside the ring. Like, it's hysterical. And they've just grabbed this thing and run with it. And that's impressive to me because it's a terrible gimmick. It is a god-awful gimmick. And they have just said, you know what? We're going to do something with this. Right. And come on. He brought out a trombone and he actually played it. Like, it wasn't a gag of just doing, like, the long slide at some point, just a boom. But he actually played the thing. Like, that's commitment. That's impressive.
Yeah.
But I wish them continued success until they finally get really boring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the primetime players never really understood. They do that, like, one thing with their hands and they put it together. I don't know.
Millions of dollars.
Yeah.
I love it. I love the fun gimmicks. That's what I love. I love the fun characters. I appreciate, you know, the seriousness and the bad guys. I understand you have to have all the facets. This is just those are my fun ones. Like, that's
now,
those
did,
are my
who
favorite.
Did Kevin Owens face again?
Cesaro. He and Cesaro had a tear the house down match, and they were in a tough spot.
Every match I see them in, it's good.
Oh, Cesaro especially lately, and I think that's partly because on Stone Cold's first live on the WWE Network podcast, where he sat down with Vince McMahon, and asked him, you know, specifically about Cesaro, and Vince said he's just missing that something. And so Cesaro's gone out there and he has done, I mean, he has put in work. Like he was good before. But I don't know if either they let him off the chain or he took himself off of it or what. Mm-hmm. But his match with Kevin Owens was just that's what NXT is.
Okay.
That's what they do every night at NXT. They put on clinics like that.
Yeah, that's what it was. Anytime I see, and they've been doing it for a little bit now. You know, after he did his thing with John Cena.
Yeah,
but yeah, I like Kevin Owens. It's and Cesaro. Let's see here. What were some of the other matches? We had the Steve Mel one.
I love that he didn't just. It wasn't just like, oh, they tagged him in and he did a thing and he took a bump and then he got out of there.
No, he worked great in it.
Yeah. And he knew how to sell. He had the athleticism, and that I know it was ugly really break it down. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't the spectacle that they want to make it. But that dive off the top, man, that crossbody was just that was bold. When you really look at it, for somebody who has any sort of outside career, but especially one. Not just as an actor, but with as physically demanding a role as Arrow is.
Oh yeah.
To go out there like that, I mean, that took serious backbone.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It wasn't just a hop of the ring for 2 seconds. Yeah. Like, he was in, you know, and I could see this becoming a thing.
Oh, I don't think this is over at all. Yeah. No way.
I can almost guarantee you he'll have a WrestleMania pay-per-view, or he'll be at WrestleMania.
I would cut that. I'm telling you, like that.
Yeah, and that like, one of the coolest things that came out of it? I don't know. I'm sure you followed him on Facebook, but he posts fan art constantly.
Oh yeah.
And it was just nothing but amazing art from people doing, like, you know, Stardust or whatever as the supervillain, and him in his Arrow costume, and just. Like, all of this fan art, and I just thought it was amazing. I was like, wow, there's some really talented people who, you know, are fans of Arrow and wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I thought it was super cool. what were some other good ones? They did the Wyatt family stuff. That new guy who's with the Wyatt family, holy crap.
He's huge, isn't he?
Yeah. God.
Braun something or other.
Yeah, I don't recognize him from anything. Is he new or
he is? He's been in a lot of strongman competitions.
Okay.
Like Mark Henry was back in the day. Like that's, they brought him from that world over.
Okay.
And he's gotcha. He is, my God, he's huge.
He's right. Practically he's choked out. What's his face?
Roman Reigns,
yeah.
And then Dean Ambrose, like, to do that to Roman Reigns. Roman's not a small guy.
No, not at all.
I've walked past Roman Reigns.
Right.
He is a big, big dude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's got that rock blood in him, right? He's like his cousin.
Yeah. That's a whole. And I love how they played that up, like, at the end of the Royal Rumble, and then, like, going into Mania, like, trying to, because people were so down on him.
Right.
They were like, it can't, not him. It was what Bray has been running with. It's anybody but him.
Right.
And they couldn't, you know, they just couldn't get him any help. They just couldn't. Like, they're slowly coming around to the idea of embracing fan response. Like, I understand they can't cater to the whims of the internet wrestling community. I get that, because hopefully, at least in most respects, they have a plan and whatnot. But and you know, some of it we're not going to like, and we're just going to have to deal with it. But I love the idea of them starting to understand.
Oh yeah,
and saying.
I mean, personally, I think, you know, what do you fall on this? I don't think Brock should have taken Undertaker's streak.
I was of the mindset of, now that this has happened, of course, I was just like everybody else. I was slack-jawed staring at the screen like I couldn't believe it.
But I mean, even after thinking about it, it's like, it's not good writing. It's not someone, to me, worthy of it.
That's a fair point. That's an arguable point for sure. But but seeing how they've run with it since, I think has it's the way they needed to go with it. Like, it was what needed to happen after that.
I think that's how they think about it now, and it's a, you know, it's one of those things where I think they go, well, it's already happened. We can't change it.
Right.
So we have to just kind of move ahead. I honestly would have loved, I mean, it didn't have to be a good or a good guy or anything, but someone worthy enough to hand that torch, it just seemed, and I mean, I get it for shock face value. No one expected it. And that's the one thing that I hear from fans is it's so predictable, you know, wrestling now. The Undertaker coming back in the first place and being on SummerSlam is not predictable. No one saw that coming.
No.
At least I didn't.
No, I didn't either.
So, you know, to kind of, you know, piggyback off of what you said, they are, you know, starting to go, okay, let's do some things a little bit different. I don't know, I really that kind of stung. Like, it was like, oh, that's stung in like a cringeworthy way. It's like, that was not a good move. You know, I don't know. But I don't know. I wonder how this is going to play out, because didn't we get, you know, I guess I'm getting ahead of myself. So we'll come back to my question I was just about to ask. But what'd you think about the final match?
It was a better match than I was anticipating, really.
Oh, for sure.
Because Taker's in amazing shape. When you saw him at WrestleMania, like, he didn't look...
It was much better than WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah, it was... I don't know what the difference was, what changed or whatever, but when he came back this time, it was an Undertaker who came back to fight. This right. was not going to be just like, oh, we're going to do, you know, a handful of the big spots and drag everything out and then a little rush at the end. No, this is, you knew going into this, it was not going to be pretty.
Right.
And in a good way. And it wasn't. And it was awesome. Like, this was a match.
Right. Yeah, no, I was into it. And, you know, actually, I was going to say this a few seconds ago, so I'll just say it now. One person that I missed when I wasn't watching wrestling, but I went back and watched a lot of, that I thought was really good, and someone who I would have loved if they would have taken the Undertaker streak, and it would have made sense story-wise, because this would have been something that said, screw you to the WWE, if it was CM Punk. That would have been, imagine that. That's something I think fans would be like, oh, wow, you know, like, in story mode, it'd be like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened.
Yeah.
And then in legacy mode, it would be like, wow, like, that's someone who kind of took the WWE by storm.
And then, you know, like, 3 months later, he quit. So,
exactly.
Like, I think, I don't know.
Maybe that's why that didn't happen, you know?
Possibly. Very possibly. But yeah, somebody.
He was the last person, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but he was the last person to fight Undertaker since Brock, right? He was the one at the WrestleMania before that, right?
Yeah, yeah, it was him and then Brock, and then they did the thing with Bray Wyatt.
Okay.
And at this past year.
Right.
And I thought that, you know, my thing was like, once you've broken the streak, mm-hmm. don't come back to Mania. Like, there's like, it just, to me, it was like this has lost its luster.
It did, yeah.
So I, you know, and then to see him beat Bray, I was like, okay, that does nothing.
Well, here's what I want to see. And this is fanboy. Pure fanboyism. I'd love to see, in Texas, Undertaker and Sting. They're both from Texas. Give one of them the belt and make it Sting and Undertaker. And that would, I mean, it's going to sell out, period. But that would be a match that would go down in history.
That was the one that everybody kind of thought, you know, when they brought Sting back, instead of this whole thing with him and Triple H, mm-hmm. it was going to be him and the Undertaker, and that, you know, maybe let that be the legacy.
Yes.
Let them both go out
like that. And, I guess one of them wouldn't have to go out, but, you know, let... And I think maybe that's what happened. They were like, hey, the Sting stuff's getting really big. Maybe we shouldn't just do a one and done.
Exactly.
And let it go for a year. And we'll do Triple H first, because that's kind of a match people would want to see, you know, two legends. And then, you know, who knows? And this is where I guess I was getting a little ahead of myself. you know, from what I understand, in the next pay-per-view, I don't know what it's called.
Clash of Night of Champions.
Night of Champions. Isn't it going to be
yes.
Rollins and Sting for the belt? Okay.
Yeah.
So, if Sting grabbed that, and this would be his first, you know, WWE Championship, I hope he gets one before he goes. So he can kind of be there in the, you know, in the books.
Man, that would
be really cool.
It would, but man, it's going to be a bad match.
For me, as a fan of that generation, that's getting me excited. I imagine that's going to get a lot of people to sign up for the network. It's going to get a lot of people going, oh, Sting's going to be, you know, in a championship match.
Totally.
Because the last one, it was like, yeah, it was Triple H, fine, but it was for nothing. In a way, it was just cool to see because you've never saw that before,
right? And it did give us, you know, NWO versus DX
mm-hmm.
in a way, and I was yeah. that I was
in
that
like a
was
goofy
cool
way, but it was fun.
Well, how else would you do it?
Exactly, you know, like it was a ton of fun, and I guess that's the point.
Yeah,
you know? but yeah, man. So you know, what else was I going to say? Yeah, so, I mean, and I guess that kind of we could talk a little bit about Raw and that, and Sting coming back. Like, that surprised the hell out of me.
Yeah, and it's funny, because watching, like, I catch, like, Raw usually, like, the day after. I'm doing something or whatever, and I almost never watch it live.
Right.
So I wind up with something spoiled, always.
Okay.
And this was the thing, like, oh, Sting returns. And I was like, damn, I didn't want to know that. And then as I watched the show, I totally forgot.
Like,
I completely forgot about it. So when it happened at the end, it was still a surprise because it had completely slipped my mind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Completely caught me off guard. And I noticed something different about this than how he looked before. He always, well, not, I shouldn't say always, since he came to the WWE, he's always had, like, the black, the white, and the red.
Yeah,
and this, it was just black and white, like how he used to be.
Yeah,
and I thought that was kind of cool. Maybe it's just me looking too far into it, but
because he did when he was in TNA for a while, because after WCW folded, a couple of years later he went to TNA.
Right, and he did the he introduced the red when he did the NWO, you know, red and black. And that's where I assumed he just kind of mixed it all together when he was doing the TNA.
Pretty much.
But I never liked that little. I don't like the goatee, and I don't like the little line underneath his eye that was red. And so when I saw him this time, that just me being just a crazy big fan of his, that was one thing I noticed. Was like, oh wow, he has the exact look as he did when he was in WCW.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah. And I thought that was cool, but yeah, man. So I don't know, that'd be really cool. Seth Rollins, he's a good heel to watch.
Yeah, Seth has grabbed in a world now kind of full of gray areas. Like
right.
It's good to see somebody just take that and just run with it. Just
yep.
go.
Yeah, okay, I'm gonna be that guy. Let's do it.
Exactly.
You know, let's not go back and forth
and poor John. Poor John Stewart.
Oh, he's having fun, man. Quit politics to wrestle.
He has had so much fun. Well, he's been a fan forever.
Right.
But, you know, it was still, you know, it was still, like, not really a cool thing. Like, you could get involved with it, but you know, it wasn't, like, you couldn't just come out and be like, no, I am like, I know what's going on here. Like, this
right.
isn't just me, this isn't just a publicity thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like when, like when they had all the different guest hosts and everything. This was
right. Like that was very gimmicky.
Yeah, but this is. It's like this is him. This is him as a fan, like as
right.
a genuine fan. And so, like his watching him and Paul Heyman at SummerSlam, that little backstage segment, that was beautiful. That was just absolutely fantastic. And I thought, you know, okay, that's the end of John's night. And then during Rollins and Cena, like when he came out and he's got that chair and I'm like, I know what's going to happen. And yet I'm still going to be surprised when it does.
Right,
like, I knew he was going to hit Cena. I knew it. You could, I could see it. And then the way he did it, like it was so telegraphed because they've done this kind of thing 100 times.
Oh yeah,
it's
Dennis Rodman. Like there's a ton of celebrities.
Yeah,
get in there, and then they turn Mike Tyson very famous for doing that.
Oh yeah. And it's like, you know what he's going to do, but when he, but still, when he did it, the, it, that, you won't talk about a pop.
Yeah.
Jesus. Oh, yeah. Like that's, that was huge. It was absolutely huge.
Crowds do not like John Cena, man.
They, well, it's half and half, and there's a good reason, because the half that likes John Cena understands, like, you can't, there's nothing you can do with it. Like, he's, by virtue of all of his Make-A-Wish stuff and everything that he's done, he he is stuck where he is. There's, there is no changing that.
There should be something said about that, too. Like, I saw how much charity work he does.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's immense.
And as, you know, as an athlete, like, he does, I think he would, I forgot what top number he was in.
500.
Oh, my God.
His, like, he did his 500th Make-A-Wish over the weekend. Yeah.
And that's insane. You know, hats off to him. So yeah. like that's when I see people give him like a really hard time. I'm like, come on, man. Like that's for the kids. Like he really is, you know, the new Hulk Hogan. In a
yeah,
way.
In a sense, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's cool to hate him. You know, it's cool to be like, oh, he's gonna win everything. You
and
know?
That's, you know, I mean, that's kind of the thing. Like that's, and the other thing is like I kind of sympathize because I can see like he's stuck. There's no, there's nowhere for him to go, even if he wanted to. He couldn't turn heel.
He can't turn heel,
even if he wanted. Like there, it just it can't possibly happen. Mm-hmm. And yet, at the same time, like I was one of the people that was riding him because he had, you know, he had the five moves of doom. Like that was it. And then when he started, I'll never forget the first night he decided, okay, I'm going to do a Hurricane Rana, and like the crowd lost their mind because they were like, what the, what? Go home, John. You're drunk. What the hell?
Right. Yeah.
And then he started to broaden his move set again.
Right.
Like he did when he first debuted. You know, God, what's it been? 10 years? 12? No, God, 2002. I guess 2002. Like 13 years ago. Like he had more to offer. He did. Right. He did more. He had a more varied kind of moveset, and then he found a routine. And I'll never forget the first time I heard the kind of crowd reaction like he gets now, and not quite to this extent, but the first time he got booed was New Year's Revolution in 06, I think. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's what I mean. It took 4 years for the crowds to be like, nope. We want nothing to do with this character. And yet, you know, 9 years after that, here we are, same guy.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I feel for him because there is nowhere for him to go. But he's doing him, and that's, you know, so he gets his little moments, like AAing Jon Stewart. And I'll tell you what, Jon took that like a champ.
Oh, yeah, he did, like a rag doll.
That was great. He sold the hell out of that, and I love it. Like, John, that's another one that I don't think is over.
Like, he's got more time now to do it.
Yeah, big time.
I'm sure whenever they stroll into New York, he'll be more than happy to.
Oh, absolutely.
To host something like that. Surprised The Rock didn't show up. He usually does it for when it's either Miami or New York.
He's filming, isn't he?
Oh, that's true.
He's filming. God, something, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He's filming Baywatch, I think.
Oh, that's right.
That's right, he's doing that. That's right. Yeah. Which is really sad.
He's in everything. Like, he is the new action hero for this day and age.
And good for him, because you know what? He's good at it. He's genuinely good at it. Like, he started, like, The Rundown and Walking Tall. Like, these
I love the Rundown. That's one of my favorite of his. Like, it's one of his first.
Yeah, it was. And it was like, you can see, like, there is something there. Like,
that's when I first saw that. I mean, the first time I saw him, of course, is The Mummy.
The Mummy Returns. Yeah.
And it was just, no. And then he did his own. You know, the
Scorpion King.
Scorpion King. And that was one of the first films in the theater I fell asleep on. And I didn't want to. Like, I was a huge fan of The Rock. I didn't understand, you know. And now look at him. Like, he's grown so much.
Oh, big time. And not just, like, actingly, but physically. Like, he's huge.
Yeah, dude is huge. And, you know, he seems like one of the genuine people. Like, you see his Instagram or Twitter or whatever. He's got a genuine heart. And he does a lot of stuff, too. Like, especially for kids that are in trouble or, like, out of, you know, not in shape and stuff like that. A lot of the shows and stuff he does is to better people's lives.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and he talks about, what's that $7 story that you know, he was wrestling in a flea market, you know, once with like $7 in his pocket. And so like he told himself he was going to do better. He was going to get better.
Yeah.
And look at him now, you know. He always goes back whenever I, you know, every once in a while I see his Twitter and he talks about that $7 story or whatever. And he's like, I always look back to that and I feel humbled, you know, that, you know, you had to work to get out of that hole that he was in. So, yeah, man. So, but yeah, I liked it. I was totally into it. The last few days of wrestling have been great. And that's why I'm glad we kind of did this.
Totally. Go back and watch NXT. I'm telling
you. Yeah.
Like, all the matches are, like, all the episodes, I think, that they've done, really, are up on the network now. At least, like, the last couple years worth, at least.
Okay.
If you're really looking to go back. But at least go back and do the handful of events that they've done, the big ones, the takeovers.
Okay.
And then watch like the last few episodes and then watch Brooklyn. Like it's and you'll see like this is for real. This is why I hate what they've done to Bo Dallas, but I love what they've done with Neville. Neville was another NXT champ and he's awesome.
Yeah.
And he's ridiculously dynamic and wait until they really let him loose. Like think he's done some pretty badass stuff now. You just wait.
Yeah, man. No, you know, and I was completely taken, you know, off when I found out his brother, you know, was way Bryant or whatever.
Bray Wyatt. Yeah.
I was like, what? They're brothers? You know, because you know when I started watching it again, that's when they were these two characters, and they couldn't be any more different. You know. And it was, I didn't realize they were real life brothers. So I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, I'm surprised they didn't go that route, you know?
Well, because I, you know, Bo wanted to do his thing and Bray wanted to do his. And it's for him, you know?
I guess.
Well, it's worked for Bray anyway.
It worked for Bray, yeah. And, I mean, I guess he could have been a part of the Wyatt family, but I don't think it would have worked for Bo, I guess, necessarily. Maybe some years down the road that will be a thing.
It could very well be. They were a tag team for a long time.
Okay, yeah, because it'd be cool to see, because Bray, he's getting, you know, he's pay per views and everything else. So you know, maybe they'd be like, okay, maybe this Bo Dallas thing just isn't working. Let's do something else because it's cringeworthy every time.
It really is. Like I would just, and if they let him have a decent match, because he can have a really solid match if they would just give him the time.
Yeah,
but just man, it's a bummer. Like it does. It bums me out.
Right. Oh yeah. Well, you know, I think that about wraps it up. You know, maybe in the next few podcasts we'll bring up wrestling every once in a while. Maybe we should, after like every two or three pay-per-views, just do like a wrestling show like this.
Okay.
I kind of like the idea of that, you know, talk for an hour or so about, you just get caught up on what's going on with it. You know,
totally.
Maybe a few listeners will like it, listen to it, and you guys hopefully enjoyed it. You know, I like that we have kind of two different points of view of it. It was weird because I guess I saw it before you did, but then you were into it the years I was not, and now I'm just getting back. So, you know, I love that we kind of have two different points of view on it right now. So,
yeah
so, you know, again, I think that about wraps it up. So, of course, you know, go to our Facebook group, We Geek Podcast. Our Twitter page at We Geek Podcast. The N.FM is the new station we're going to be on. Still nailing down the dates and time, but it should be in September, so stay tuned for that. Rate us on Facebook, give us a review.
iTunes,
yeah. Facebook, what am I talking about? Sorry, it's been a long day.
Like us on Facebook, rate us on iTunes.
Exactly, like us on Facebook, rate us on iTunes, and stay tuned. And, you know, I'll be back on Wednesday for the normal show. And so, yeah, this was just a little extra special thing. Hopefully you're into wrestling like us. Maybe you're just getting back into it. Maybe you've been a fan forever. But, yeah, I think it'd be cool if we talk about it maybe every 3 months or so and bring it up just every once in a while on the show if something, you know, big happens. So.
Totally.
All right, man. Well, Captain.